decided I would leave that clay and those pottery pieces out on the table for the whole service today as I went over them with the children. The children were very engaged with them, I think with the malleable clay in particular. But I wanted it to be an ongoing visual presence and image in the service. And what I mean to do is to be a bit Jeremiah-like with that. I don't want it to be hokey, but I want to point out that one of the particular things about Jeremiah is that while he used a lot of vivid images in his prophecy, he didn't just say the words, he would actually have them physically acted out too. When Jeremiah spoke about a yoke of oppression, he walked around with an actual yoke that he built and wore it on his neck. And when he talked about a symbol of restoration of a field of home, he actually bought a field. And here, when he's given this image of God as a potter, the Spirit of the Lord brings him to an actual potter's house where there are lumps of clay and vessels being formed, and I'm sure broken shards and beautiful vessels around there too. So this gives a Jeremiah-like vibe to what I'm sharing with you today. And if you want to just focus on the images, that's fine too, more than my words today, whatever speaks to you. But Jeremiah did put images and words together. And here, in this passage, we hear God as the potter and God shaping clay as a word about God and God's people, and really a broader word about God and all people, God and history. And there's something first about Jeremiah's words in particular that I want us to notice about connections that are made in Scripture. As this image of clay is played out, this word of the Lord says, I will pluck up and break down, and then I will build and I will plant. And what that should immediately make us think of is back to Jeremiah 1, to the call of Jeremiah, because that's where God says to Jeremiah, I have given you a word that will pluck up and pull down, that will build and plant. So when we hear those very images used here in Jeremiah 18, it's supposed to get our attention. This is a word that connects directly to Jeremiah's call as a prophet, something that's central to the word of God that Jeremiah is directed to give. So let's first hear what this word image is that the Lord speaks through Jeremiah, and then let's see what we can make of it. Right, that's a good thing to do with a pottery and clay image, right? To see what we can mold, what we can make of that image. So here's what this word of the Lord through Jeremiah says. God in history is the potter. God is the one shaping nations, shaping history on a broad and grand scale. God is at work spoiling the intentions of those who work against God's purpose. I will pluck up, I will break down and destroy, God says. And at the same time, God is nurturing the way of those who reflect God's purposes. I will build and plant, says the Lord. That's the word. And as it's given, there's this interesting interplay that God speaks of those who at some point seem to be against God's will, turning towards God and God turning to them. And those who at first seem to be following God's way actually becoming fruitless and God turning God's nurture and support away from them. It's an image of history that's malleable and shaped in God's hands. Lumps and beautiful vessels and broken shards, all shaped by God's purpose. God, the potter, molds and shapes and reshapes and reforms. That's the word from Jeremiah that he expresses vividly. I think it's important to take a moment and let that sink in and then ask yourself, do you really believe that? Does that make sense to you as you look at the world and as you look at your life? Do you buy that? And if so, could you explain it to me, please? How that works and what exactly that looks like in the world day to day? Because here's what I know about life in history. I know of a history made by the decisions of people and politicians, of leaders and rulers. I know history forged by war and the making of peace. I know history governed by the momentum of progress and knowledge and the roadblocks of violence and ignorance. I know history as an accumulation of events and circumstances, both that we participate in and that we're impacted by. That's what I know about history day to day. But history molded by God the potter, it's not my first thought. It's not my first modern idea, and it offends my modern sensibilities and brings up lots of questions when that idea is presented to us. What would it mean to portray God as with one nation or leader and against another? Where does that lead in our world? And perhaps a bigger, deeper question for me is, if God is the potter shaping things, then just how good a job is God the potter doing in our world? You ever wonder about that? Maybe we're not supposed to say that question, but it comes to mind for me. So perhaps one way into those questions is to realize that my modern questions and sensibilities aren't really so modern after all. To realize that the word that Jeremiah gave back then was difficult to hear back then too, that it offended the sensibilities of Israel and anyone else who might pay attention too. Often in church, in biblical interpretation as Christians, we have a view of Scripture that we go to that word of Scripture, word of God, and then we interpret it in light of our modern situation. And interpretations change as history keeps rolling on. And that interpretation, that approach to Scripture, has some very good possibilities in it. It's important. But there's another possibility too. In speaking of the prophet Jeremiah, that theologian Walter Brueggemann says this, that rather than applying the text to our situation, it's our situation that is to be submitted to the text for a fresh interpretation. It's our situation that requires new discernment. And here's what I think that means. In every modern time, because they thought they were modern back then, and we think we're modern now, and every time in between thinks so too, part of what people do, part of what individuals and nations and people of faith and people of history do, part of what we do is get set in, locked into a view of our lives and our world, of how things work. And as much as we focus on how things change in history, and there's a whole lot that changes, I would actually say that the views that humanity has that are actually very similar across time, from Israel and the world back then to us and our nation and the peoples and nations of our world. They're viewpoints that go something like this. History is about God being on your side, on the side of your nation or your cause or your religion, and that gives credence and approval to everything you do. Or you might see, as God not involved at all, events unfolding as they will, or only by our will, God on the sidelines. Or one might think of no God at all, that it's power and politics that are in control, the power of money or influence or force. Those are the true powers in history. Those are different and competing views, but they are consistent over time, locked into a certain view of how the world works, how our lives and history are shaped. And all say in some way or another that we are the potters. We are the shapers of history. You can hear that viewpoint expressed at any time. So then there comes this word from Jeremiah, and it's a whole different perspective. It's a view from God that demands that we see our lives and our world differently than what we're locked into. Jeremiah says, God is the potter. And if we submit our lives to that view, we see things very differently. It's not different in that it trades one kind of determinism for another, but this is a dynamic image of God as the potter interacting with us and with history. It presents an interplay of God being responsive to the actions and choices of people shaping life in a certain way and God responding to it, of God empowering people to shape life in meaningful ways. But what's so different about it? What's so radical about what happens when we submit our lives to this word of the Lord is that it makes clear what God shapes and what we shape in this life. What God calls us to do is have our lives shaped as vessels of faithfulness. Different than seeing ourselves as the shapers of history. That's God's role. This word from Jeremiah is that history is already shaped. Hear that. History is already the place in which God is bringing about God's purposes for life. History is held in God's hands. And so in the midst of that, what is in our hands is to fit our lives to God's purpose. Knowing, believing, trusting, feeling in our bones that our lives are molded to what God desires for us and for this world. What Brueggemann writes is that this word of the Lord through Jeremiah, it calls us away from trusting economy and technology and military might and progress as the primary powers of history, but instead to believe that practices of justice and compassion and peace are our true calling in history. And do you see the distinction there? It's not saying that those other forces are not present, that they're not important or powerful. They impact us and others profoundly and directly. The issue is whether or not we trust that our lives belong to those things or our lives belong to God. Jeremiah calls us to see justice and compassion as peace as the true shape of our lives and of history. Jeremiah calls for the eyes of faith to see God, the potter, at work in this world through those powers of justice, compassion, and peace, and to trust that it is to God's reign of life that our lives truly belong, to live our lives as part of that story in history. It's an image from Jeremiah that speaks on a very grand scale. We don't always or often talk that way. God is the God of history, shaping life over time. As important as that is, it can be hard to find our own foothold in that grand vision. So what helps me with that is to put with this word from Jeremiah the words of Psalm 139 that we sang today. You need to put those images and feelings together of God the potter and God as the one who forms us in our mother's wombs, as it says in the psalm. It says that God the potter, God of the nations and of history, is the one to whom our lives are deeply, intimately, personally connected. God the potter shaping nations and forming history, and God is the one who holds you all your days. Bringing those images together invites us not only to see history, but our lives in a fresh way. The mystery of the potter of the nations is that God is the potter of your life too. The mystery of history and time is that God's broad purposes are played out through the particular and specific lives of the people that God has made. And so the freedom and life of being a child of God is that we're not locked into a world that shapes us at its whim. We are children of the living Spirit who shapes history and who shapes us into the ways of life. The God of nations and of history, the God of our lives, who shapes us in faithfulness, the God whose will it is to form life in this world. God the potter, present in this world, present in your life this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.